gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Lana has the gut.
We're entering a new era of Miami Heat basketball.
I say finals are bust, no matter what.
All that, the Dion Waiter there?
Oh, I'll tell him to shut up. It's fine.
I think Bam needs to become the face of the team. Jimmy, all the way.
I mean, Tyler Hero, you're going 4-for-12. Get out of here.
We got Bryant, Hero, and Duncan all out there at the same time. Like, who's playing defense in that lineup?
King Riles. The Godfather.
Not the rat.
Yeah. God, the beauty of the culture is because I think it's a real thing.
This culture thing, I mean, look, it started with Pat, you know, back in the 90s.
Really, you got any thoughts?
Anthony Mason?
Isaac Watson.
Jamal Mashburn.
You're Jamal Mashburn to give you a grand long.
John Cry.
Mo Harper? Curry. Sounds good.
Eddie.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 25 of the Battered Heat Fans Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada. Alongside me, I got three other battered fans from my left to your right. Let's start off with Mr. Solana. How are you doing, sir? Oh, and you are on mute. So
again,
we are
this is like the fifth time this has happened, dude.
I'm a rookie, bro. I'm an absolute rookie. I muted for the intro because I don't want to sneeze or cough.
Correct.
Or be eating my hot dog, you know, while we're doing the intro. But unfortunately, you know, I forget to unmute myself. So to answer your question, Danny, I'm doing awful. You know, I predicted a blowout on Tuesday. Clearly, I was wrong. I looked like I was going to be right until about halfway through the third quarter, and then you know, Chris started texting us some weird shit in the chat, put some voodoo in there, and then it all went downhill. So to answer your question, I'm doing like shit.
Yeah. That's what I figured. Let's see. Italy, how are you doing?
Well, I am bloated and constipated. That's all you got to know after that.
No. Okay. All right.
Gas X, buddy.
Chris, how are you doing, sir?
I mean, look, you know, take the comment off just real quick. That right there, I'm going to bring the comment right back up. But
no, because that's why I'm putting it up. Yeah.
I was looking forward to this matchup more than anybody. Okay. And perfect comment by Mr. Krabs. We lost thanks to Caleb Martin giving away free chicken. That's when the trend took a downward spiral, my friends.
Well, all right, well, let's start talking about the game yesterday. I thought, and I was looking forward to Knicks Heat. One, because I think the Heat would have won, and two, because I just enjoy that rivalry. But I felt like, you know how we always wait for playoff Jimmy to show up? Mm-hmm. I thought he was already showing up. He had five steals. He was being aggressive. I really liked what I saw from Jimmy. I thought that we were getting playoff Jimmy, and things were – I mean, we're on and rocking. But then, obviously – things took a change for the worse was at the end of the first quarter where he got that long outlet pass. He pump faked and look, he threw his leg out trying to draw a foul and then just landed awkwardly, sprained his MCL, we found out today. And I mean, really, it was downhill from there because at that point, he was more than anything like a decoy. The offense felt like it went through Hero.
Did he really fall down awkwardly? Because I don't know if I'm being a homer. Okay. I am the homer on this podcast.
100%.
Super homer. But I went back this morning and I rewatched that specific 3-4 seconds at least 25 times. And to me, it looks like – I think it's Oubre, if I'm not mistaken. But whoever that was, he literally kind of like leans into Jimmy's knee while he's going down. So to me – and I don't think the NBA is going to look at this. And no, I know you're going to chime in right now, Italy, because I know you're dying. I see you chomping. But to me, that was dirty.
Couldn't agree more.
Chris.
I went back.
Italy. Sorry, you also watched it. Agreed?
I agree with them 100%. I looked back, and I even put on my iPad, and I zoomed in. I think it was 100% dirty. And I know they're not going to look at it, but I agree with Solana.
I didn't think it was dirty. I know Jimmy had a funny comment where he said, look, we're going to throw hands.
Look, I think, you know, just played in basketball before, when you jump in and you make that pump fake, you're putting a lot of weight on the jump in portion to your right knee. You make the pump fake. you're expecting contact, but the way that he kind of fell into his body, I don't think that there was any sort of intentional, I don't think that there was any intention behind putting more weight or putting more emphasis on his collapse. At least that's not the way that it looked when I saw it originally and looking at the replays. I just feel like if you, I don't know if you looked, but I don't know if Eric Spoelstra immediately after the play, he looked and said, what the fuck was that? In terms of why did Jimmy Butler do the pump fake or how the collapse fell onto Jimmy? Because like, I'm pretty sure he knew once Jimmy went down, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, you go to your
that's,
face.
That's well, exactly what he what, thought when you see
it. It wasn't
hold
over.
Hold on. What's over?
It wasn't what over. Was over.
I mean, in terms of like the way he's clutching at his knee, and it looks like.
Oh, you meant like Jimmy for the game.
Injury.
Yeah,
you mean the injury.
Yeah,
the
Jimmy okay. injury. Okay. Correct.
Well, yes. I thought you meant the game because.
No. Injury.
He meant no, not the game. I'm talking about that. The injury itself. Yeah. Like from that moment, you see Eric Spoelstra, and he looked at him and he's like, shit.
I understand that.
He might be seriously hurt.
I understand that. Understood.
Because and especially that you have a player like Jimmy Butler who's used to the contact, plays very aggressively, and then stays on the ground with that sort of knee grasp. I looked at that and said, "Oh man, this is not good. This is too early in the game for this to happen."
I thought that look, Joel Embiid is a beast, but I thought that the Heat did a really good job of containing Joel Embiid because they guarded him as a team. They started playing that zone and things were working great in the first half. That zone worked great against Joel Embiid. And I mean, I thought that the Heat were comfortably in control. Now the issue with the Heat has been all year is that we're missing that closer, especially when Jimmy's not around. And yesterday it felt like we were missing him also because you really can't look. I like Tyler Hero, but you can't depend on him and the offense only running through Tyler Hero. He's a volume shooter. He's not efficient. Like he would miss three in a row and then he'd take a fourth one anyway. And it was I thought that hurt us the most is the fact that we were going through Tyler Hero. Mm-hmm. And I understand that Bam isn't the polished offensive weapon that we want him to eventually be, or I mean he might not ever be, but like give it to him in the post. Pick and roll, pick and pop, something. But the fact that everything went through Tyler Hero was really driving me crazy. Solana, what did you think about just the game overall after Jimmy took that fall?
Look, I mean, the Heat were in the game until the very end. They had a 14-point lead in the third quarter. And then they let the home team trickle back into it. And we know it's a game of runs. So we know that, you know, we knew the 76ers at some point were going to make a run. And the question was, you know, were the Heat going to withstand that run? And they've shown over the entire season that they don't do that. They don't win fourth quarters. We've talked about it in and out of this podcast since we started, 25 episodes ago. We said, well, really, maybe not. Maybe like 22 episodes ago when we noticed that they were losing fourth quarters. But we said if they don't eventually start winning fourth quarters, it's not going to translate to playoff success. So I look, they were in it, but you know, a little bit of the same. And the fact that Jimmy was, you know, just a decoy in the fourth quarter because he was visibly injured and we knew we wouldn't go to him. You nailed it. You know, I was upset that we went to Tyler. Also, I do want to mention, I do think Tyler was fouled on that three pointer by Nicholas Batum. I went back and I watched the replay on that again. And Nicholas Batum hits Tyler Hero's hand. So anybody else, if that's Giannis Antetokounmpo, if that's Steph Curry, if that's Klay Thompson, if that's anybody else taking that shot, they're get that call. But it's Tyler Hero, you know, and so he's not going to get that call. And I think that's a bunch of bullshit. And Danny, would this get taken down if we show a 10-second clip of I got a great 10-second clip of
there's no audio with it, I think we should be good.
No audio, but I want, you know, the viewers and I want Chris to get a really good look at this. I'm going to share the screen.
Well, while you pull that up, one thing I do want to mention, and I don't know if you can get your hands on this, Danny, but one thing that I was waiting for that I haven't looked it up yet, but you know, every time they have that 2-minute report where they kind of show some of the mistakes that they made, the referees.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it, but I imagine that that's got to be stacked because this brought up, like, I love 90s basketball.
The backcourt violation was the one that got
that me. That's number one. Now, I love 90s basketball, all right? Don't get me wrong, but and I love that. I love the physicality. I love the referees swallowing the whistle and just letting the players play. But it got to a point where Philadelphia just got away with too much contact. They got away with too much hand grabbing, hand pushing. We're talking about like not even using forearm on defense. They're not even playing proper defense at some point. So, I mean, Solana brought up the video now. So I don't know if you want to go ahead and bring it up and see what it looks like.
Yes. And before I do, just let me just answer this question real quick by Joel. Terry's not available. Terry won't be playing tomorrow and Jimmy won't be playing tomorrow.
Correct.
So it will be a Tyler Hero centered game yet again. All right, Solana. And you can go ahead and put up the video.
Whenever you put it up, I can play it. But here we go.
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll add it. Well, okay. Danny's got it right there. So he pulled up the jump shot.
He leans in. Look. I'm going to slow it right here.
Before you slow it down, let me explain it for the people listening on audio. We have the shot where Jimmy Butler got injured pulled up on the screen. So as Solana is sort of rolling it through, you can go ahead and give us sort of a play-by-play on it.
Right here. Yeah, so that Jimmy goes for the pump fake, and now is when he goes up for the layup, and Oubre is coming down, and he can clearly come straight down, but I'm going to go frame by frame here.
I disagree.
You can see.
He's flying in. How is he going to go straight down?
Nah, he clearly puts his body to the left and clearly comes right down. Look, Jimmy lands on his left hand. He has his right leg up, and this guy is clearly his leg is down. Look at Kelly Oubre's left leg right here is down. He can fall down the other way. I'm sorry, there's no need for you to fall right down on his leg. So to me, that should have been a flagrant 2 ejection. See you later. go fishing. You know, I'm just kind of upset about that.
You know what? I disagree, man. I really do. I disagree because to me, he flew in. At that moment, you're flying. The momentum's taking you. I don't see how you could have just came straight down. Now, you say that he should have gone right instead of left. He could have probably done that. But, I mean, the player was to the left, so you're going towards the player. I also have a last two-minute report.
You want to know how many mistakes were made in the last 2 minutes?
764.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's see.
Take a screenshot of that and email it to me, please, because I want to be able to pull that up. I'm gonna bring something up here real quick, because when you're playing defense, usually when you jump straight up, there's no foul call. But when you're going horizontally like that towards the person that you're trying to defend, I mean, it's an automatic call no matter what. But there's no way that he's going to be landing vertically perfectly on both of his feet. That's the only reason that I looked at that and said there was no intention. Because if you notice, he couldn't go right because that's his own teammate. And it's just like Danny said, he's going to try to block the ball, which is the opposition is on his left side. So we're gonna talk about Batum, because Batum to me is fucking garbage. Complete garbage.
Well, he averages 5 points a game. But who had Batum being the difference maker yesterday? If I would have told you,
not me.
If I would have told you when we recorded on Tuesday and we were talking about this game, that Embiid and Maxey were going to go 12 for 33 in the game, you think to yourself, we got a really good chance of winning this game. But who the hell had Nick Batum blowing up from three the way he did and scoring 20 points? I don't know what the last time he scored 20 points was, but I promise you, it probably wasn't this season. It's been a while. It's wild. It's crazy that he ended up being the difference maker.
Right. What minute did that play occur? The half court play.
The backcourt?
Yeah, the backcourt.
That was under 2 minutes. That was under 2 minutes. It was a minute and change probably.
Okay, it was 55 seconds apparently here.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the 2 minute report. And it says here, Hero, right foot comes down onto the half court line while he is in contact with the ball. Possession is properly awarded to Philadelphia. Now it says Batum, it says Batum rests and removes his hand from Hero's back as Hero moves to retrieve the ball, and the touch contact is marginal.
According
that,
to who?
That, that's BS.
According to who? According to
three losers? Forward. Yeah. That you could see the arm get extended. Like that one I find hard to believe.
If it was anybody else in the NBA with a name, James, if it would have been James Harden, if it would have been if it would have been on the other side, if it would have been
actually, if it was Jimmy Butler, he might get that call.
That's Tyler what I'm Hero saying. Just
wasn't getting, yeah, I agree with
that's
that.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying. But that's crap, man. That's they gotta stop doing that crap because it just makes the game crap. That should have just been a foul.
And look at this, Solana. You got Mr. Krabs saying it should have been a flagrant ejection. Fined $35,000 and suspended for 30 games going into next season. That seems pretty fair.
Honestly, I think he's light. I think I would have gone after what they did to Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, which was just suspend
him
from the NBA?
Suspend him from the entire league.
Oh, damn.
Like, oh, go play in Japan, buddy.
Or France. He stole playoff Jimmy from us. Everybody loves, even people that don't like the Heat enjoy watching playoff Jimmy. And he took that away from us. I'm telling you, I felt it coming. Those five steals, playoff Jimmy's here. I felt it. I told you because I predicted a loss and I texted you guys during the first or second quarter. I was like, I think we're going to win this game. Like, I felt it the way Jimmy was playing. And I tell you right now, it was a 1-point loss. We win that game if Jimmy's healthy. Jimmy was a decoy in the fourth quarter. He was hiding away in the corner. I don't know about 20, but he was hiding away in the corner when Tyler Hero was going to work and you know, doing whatever the hell Tyler Hero does. But Jimmy was – he was so out of his element with his injury that they didn't even put him in for the last possession.
Like, yeah, but you know what? Sucks. I want to, and Italy, I don't know if you have anything that's like right at the top of your mind, but I want to talk about something in terms of Joel Embiid. But if there's something that's sort of itching and clawing at you, if you wanted to mention something, because I know you had something to say and I kind of interrupted with some of what I was explaining.
No, I just thought at the end, the injuries, I agree with Solana, and I understand where everyone is coming from with the whole zoom in and zoom out thing, but I just think overall with this game, the defense, and we let Embiid get those three pointers, and the defense on him was just they gave up blocking Embiid, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter.
Well,
that's just me though.
I think Nick
go
Nurse,
ahead Danny.
Nick Nurse is a good coach, and I thought in the first half the Heat zone was really just confusing and frustrating the Sixers. But Nick Nurse, he's a good coach. He went in, he made his adjustments. Buddy Hield was getting to the paint and dishing. Like, Joel Embiid wasn't just posting up in the paint, or he was coming out to the three-point line, spreading the offense out. He was making those threes. I think Nick Nurse deserves a lot of credit for that also, because there were a lot of adjustments made by him. Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to bring up that there's absolutely no reason that Nick Batum should be getting 20 points in this last game. He is absolute garbage. And not only that, but Joel Embiid, I don't understand how, and Danny, I texted you this morning a little bit about it. I don't understand how he was clearly visibly like destroyed. He was clearly and visibly seen as exhausted. And why they didn't attack him more, to me, was just... I don't want to say it's just awful coaching, but it's awful strategy. Because you have Bam.
I don't think it was necessarily coaching, because Spo calls the plays, right? And every play has a certain number of triggers. And so you go through the triggers, and if the players don't run the play that needs to be run, then it is what it is. But the other thing you have to remember is, if the referees are kind of, and I don't want to say going against you, but you kind of
dictating.
Said it, that
they were dictating the game
a little bit. That also gets into your mind as a player on the offensive end. And so you're going to think twice about driving to the rim especially on Embiid, knowing that the referees are probably going to protect
favor him,
a big body. Especially knowing he's tired and all that. They're, you know, they're not going to make sure he racks up the fouls because they want, you know, they want the game to be good. And again, that's where I think the NBA becomes a little wishy-washy with, you know, with how the referees call the game.
Yeah, the favoritism, well,
Well, and my whole deal is, right, and you mentioned the triggers, and that's a good point because, to be honest, the Heat probably never reached the point of using Bam to that final trigger because they worked it outside, found some space when they needed it, got the shot off, and the play is over. They're going back in transition on defense. But the issue is that I think that if they would have hit Bam more often, Bam is a very crafty player. He's not one of these aggressive, go at you hard kind of players. So he's not going to be able to, he's not going to be catching the attention of the referee where the referee is going to be making a split second decision on whether he's going to favor Embiid or not. He's crafty enough that he'll throw a couple pump fakes, put his body in the right position, and he'll get a couple fouls. You already have a Joel Embiid that's a step behind. I mean, clearly he's tugging at his shorts as he's leaning over. This is like the second or third quarter. Mm-hmm. Like how we did not attack him more often, especially with a crafty player like Bam Adebayo, to me, whether that was, I guess, better efficiency on the offensive side where it didn't reach Bam, but something had to give. Like they should have seen that at some point in the game.
To your point, since Embiid came back, I think this was his 9th or 10th game back from injury. This is by far the most minutes he's played.
He was crawling.
38 minutes, and then I was looking here at the box score. Tyler Hero
all of them in the fourth quarter.
27 shots. Now I remember the game started. Bam attempted 2 threes. Went 0-for-2. He ended the game after those 2 missed threes, going 5-for-7. He took 9 shots the whole game. Yeah. Outside of those 2 threes, he was 5-for-7. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You figure out a way to get him involved. Figure it out.
Fun. He wasn't 9-for-27, right?
No.
No. Making sure.
I just no. Look, we've said it. I'm all good with Tyler Hero being the sixth man. I texted you guys right when the game started. I hate Tyler Hero being a ball handler. He can't be the point guard for this team. And I know that this team, the way it plays, it doesn't necessarily need a traditional point guard. But he can't handle the ball. He has to be off the ball. If this game gets played with Terry Rozier, this game is different. If this game gets played with Duncan Robinson, I think it's different. So many things could be different. When Jaime Jaquez comes off the bench, plays 22 minutes.
Yeah. And Jovic.
22 minutes. And he took more shots than Bam Adebayo. I'm sorry. That's a problem.
Now, hold on.
Bam
Danny.
Needs to be more involved.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, the fans are and I see them, you know, here in the comments. They're talking about who's going to be the next guy to step up. And they keep talking about Jovic and the Serbian assassin. But I'm going to tell you, man, be careful with a guy that I like to call Playoff Jaime, because Playoff Jaime
turns the ball over like crazy.
Came in hot last night. And when Playoff Jaime plays tomorrow night against those stinky Bulls and he goes on the break with the Serbian assassin, Big D over here in the corner knows that when Jaime and the Serbian assassin run the break, Danny knows what happens. And it could be real nice against them out of transition tomorrow.
Yeah, I do like seeing them in transition. Just real quick, Chino, I don't really blame him for that. I agree. Tyler Hero was put into that position. I said I don't like it. I understood why they had him doing it, but I don't like it. They don't really have another point guard on the roster. But my thing is, you got to try to get the ball to Bam. Like that's my ultimately my thing.
Yeah, Mr. Krabs,
Robinson was available. Why didn't he play?
He really wasn't available.
Yeah.
He suited up, but it was more so a decoy, so he was never going to play. Don't worry, he wasn't going to play.
I just look, and I want to just get there's two things that for me was like real eye opening. One is the lack of utilization for Bam Adebayo, and number two. And this is a good comment by Dennis Lopez. He's saying the future is Nico and Triple J when they need more minutes. Listen, Triple J coughed up a couple turnovers yesterday, so I'm not even going to.
Yeah, three turnovers.
Yeah. And those are three critical turnovers in transition where they collected a lot of baskets after that. And then they got free chicken. Okay. But aside from that, I mean, the one glaring thing other than the two I want to mention, one is the Bam Adebayo lack of usage for him. And number two, how much Tyler Hero literally had to be the only one functioning in the last 2-3 minutes of the game. Like, if you want to slow the game down, work it with the big man, which I guess goes back to my original point of Bam Adebayo. So, and I don't want to sit here and say that Spo fucked everything up, because he didn't. Spo no. didn't fuck everything up, but strategically wise, I mean, if you want to slow the ball down against a team like this, you gotta feed Bam.
You're just saying he could have managed the last few minutes a little bit better than what he did.
Right.
And look, probably Jimmy's injury probably forced his hand a little bit. He probably had his go-to that he had been using, you know, the last 4 to 5 games. And the fact that Jimmy went down and then him not, you know, it looked like he could have been available because he played a little bit in the second half, right? But towards that, you know, last stretch, him not being available, Spo had to make kind of a spur of the second moment. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. This time, you know, you lost some. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night against the Bulls.
And then real quick to Mr. Krabs. Well, Dennis brought up the minus eight. Jesus. That's my favorite stat. The plus minus is my favorite stat of all NBA stats. And then just real quick, Jaime Jaquez, for all the turnover crap that you're talking, Chris, was a plus eight. And Mr. Krabs said that we're talking about Bam like he's Will Chamberlain. We're not talking about him like he's Will Chamberlain. But when Jimmy goes down, he is now your best player.
Yeah.
And he needs to get the ball. So maybe he's not Will Chamberlain, but unfortunately, on this roster, he should be the next go-to guy. Whether he's Will Chamberlain or he is, I don't know, Horace Grant, it doesn't matter to me. He is now the second best player on your team. You just got to get feet on the ball and see what he can do. So, and he was – well, he wasn't necessarily sorry. It was just a random name. But he went 5-for-7. Yeah, it was always a really cool look. I used to love playing with him at NBA Jam with those goggles. But look, when he went 5-for-7, he missed those two threes to start off the game. But he went 5-for-7 after that. He was being efficient when he got the opportunities. Just feed him the ball. I'd rather lose on that hill than lose on the Tyler Hero just chucking it up every chance he gets hill. Like, to me, I much rather lose with your best player going down throwing punches than Tyler Hero.
You know, my whole deal with Tyler Hero or not even Tyler Hero, and this is a good comment by Dennis Lopez saying that Bam has to have a minimum of 15 shots. Before I bring up my point about Tyler Hero, I want to answer your question, Mr. Krabs, about Bam Adebayo being Will Chamberlain. It's not about him being Will Chamberlain. The thing about it is that he's crafty enough that against the tired Joel Embiid, who's coming back after an injury, he'll look pretty good. So, I mean, we're not talking about Will Chamberlain, but he can be crafty enough that he can be able to put some balls in the basket. Now, getting back to my point about Tyler Hero, one of the things about working the ball from outside and keeping it outside and just having him run your offense, you're talking about him being the only one working around picks to get the ball inside is so much harder. So you're closing him off from being able to even get the big man involved because of the attack of the defense. So now you're putting him in a situation where he's running into the out of bounds line. You're putting him in a situation where he's working off of pick and pops, pick and rolls. He's creating on his own, where if you were to just work the ball around and find the space to give to the big man in the middle, that can open it up for the men on the outside. But when you put the ball in Tyler Hero's hands and say, hey, fuck it, you run it, you're completely screwing yourself over. So it's just, I guess, a lack of a judgment or a lack of a difference in game plan in the last couple minutes. I mean, you got to make up for the fact that Jimmy Butler's sitting in the fucking corner.
And also, you want to make Embiid work.
Like, yes, that's the whole point. That's make the whole point of getting right. That's the whole point. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that I'm like out here on my fucking soapbox, but that's essentially what it is. Put Bam to make Embiid work. Embiid is working off like 60%. Like, what are we doing? This guy had a vacation game yesterday.
Oh, he had. I didn't think he had a good game. I thought he had a pretty bad game, but he did draw.
Yeah, it wasn't a good game, but he didn't have anything that stood out where he was seen as ineffective either on offense or on defense. Yeah, and he's working at 60%.
I love the passion. I love the passion. I know Glades Middle School is looking for a high school or middle school basketball coach, bro. I'm gonna throw your name in, dude. I think you could work wonders with these young kids, bro. With that passion and literally the way you talk about the X's and O's, bro. Yeah. I'm throwing your name in that coaching hat right there.
Do it. I've coached kids before, so I'll get them to a championship real quick.
Oh shit! Italy. Feel
that. What?
Any
Daddy?
Final thoughts on the Philly game?
Shut up.
I'm not even gonna say it. Okay, go ahead. How did your final thoughts on the Philly game, Italy?
Next.
I get it. All right. And Chris is the wish coach Carter. Yeah. All right.
Samuel Jackson, motherfucker.
We have, for the second year in a row, the Heat lose the 7A game. They face the Bulls in the playing game. It's win or go home. Right. And I mean, that's just what it is. It's win or go home. It's that simple. It's a home game, but no Jimmy, no Terry. How are we feeling about tomorrow's game? I'll start with Italy, since you've been quiet for a little while. How are you feeling about tomorrow's game against the Bulls?
Anyone got an update on Caruso? I know he had an injury. Is he playing tomorrow night?
He's most likely out.
Is he most likely out? Okay.
Yeah.
So we faced against the Bulls 129 times. They have one game on us. So they've won 65 and we have won 64. So I think overall, heading into that, they're on a hot streak. I mean, they just won Wednesday. I think for us, Duncan's got to step up. Hero, it's just so up and down with Hero. And I agree with Chris. They got to give the ball more to Bam. He is going to be that difference maker. Just like Daniel has said all year, if this team wants to succeed without Jimmy, Bam is going to be that key guy. So I think they have to surround themselves with that. JJJ, with him coming off the bench like Jovic, they got to play out of their minds tomorrow. They got to find a way because they're hot. I am afraid. I know it's a home game, but I am afraid of this game. I think it's going to come down on the wire, and I'm not confident. I think the Bulls are going to win.
You think the Bulls are going to win? Okay. Look, Solana is confused.
Shut up.
Solana is confused. Solana. Before I get to Solana, let me hear Chris's prediction. I want to hear Chris. What do you think about tomorrow night?
So, I mean, look, they beat the Hawks yesterday, and it seemed like they beat them pretty handedly. You know, the players that worry me, essentially, for them, DeMar DeRozan and Vujovic, those are the two players that worry me the most. I mean, you have other players that make big contributions as well, but consistently, I was looking at the Bulls' schedule, and they lost against the Knicks twice recently. They've posted up 100-point games, 110-point games. I think they posted up a 90-something point game against the Magic. They're not world beaters. I think that the Heat can be able to win this. And it's a weird dynamic because when Jimmy Butler doesn't play, it seems like they could probably play a little bit more, I don't know, with everyone else. So I have a feeling that the Heat are probably going to walk away with a win on this one. I'm not sure exactly how long it's, you know, how many points it's going to be as far as the difference is concerned, but I think we could win it. We could get a win out of this.
To your point, the Miami Heat are 13-9 without Jimmy Butler this season.
Yeah.
Solana, how are you feeling about tomorrow night?
I don't know if you guys saw, but I had to just get two puffs of my asthma inhaler in there because after what Italy said, bro, I mean, I was having palpitations over here. So, I mean, look, I think the Heat are going to win by 20. I'm not going to lie.
How did the 35 win prediction go for you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
it went terrible, but I have stats to back it up this time. Right. I got stats to back it up this time. So the Bulls did beat the Hawks, you know, handedly. They scored 40 points in the first quarter, 33 in the second, 37 in the third. They will not play that same type of defense on Friday, tomorrow night. They will not play that same type of defense. It'll be a different type of defense. So them missing Caruso is one less player that spreads the floor for them. So they're going to have to rely heavily on Ayo Dosunmu, who, you know, he torched us one game. I was at the arena for that game. And they're going to have to rely on Kobe White. To stretch the floor. And also Nikola Vucevic, who does hit the three, you know, on a pretty decent tip. Now,
and DeMar DeRozan.
But he doesn't hit the three. He's more of a mid-range guy. But when you're looking at the matchup, I think Spo is going to just rely heavily on you know, our zone and force them to beat us with the three. Now, if Kobe White gets hot, we're going to be screwed. But I think overall, top to bottom, the Heat have enough to beat the Bulls. You know, and call me crazy, but, you know, once we get by the Bulls, I think the Heat still have enough to get by the Boston Celtics. I want to tell you this, you know, I heard it on the radio earlier today, but, you know, the NBA is getting completely screwed this playoffs because they're getting, you know,
Warriors
in the Knicks. Well, they're getting a two seed in the Knicks that's missing, you know, possibly their second best player in Randall. And they're not really like a true two seed. The three seed, who is the Bucks? The Bucks is essentially going to miss Giannis for the entire first round. So anything can happen there. And then, you know, I mean, really, the Cleveland Cavaliers, I mean, really, you know, who cares about them? So, I mean, you could essentially have like the Magic going through here. You could essentially have, you know, the 76ers going through and all that. And then, you know, it's basically all in the Celtics' hands to win. So the Heat would have nothing to lose in that series. And if the Heat were to play Boston, when the Heat play Boston, I'll say Heat in five.
Well, and let me – Danny's over here. He's about to start hitting on the inhaler. One thing that I want to mention that is a player that is key to me, and after watching him for a little bit and yesterday especially, let me tell you, this guy Delon Wright, he is active. He is an active player. And I think that he's going to make a key difference, not so much offensively, but his presence and his activeness defensively is going to be critical tomorrow. And yes, Mitch, Solana has the fucking guts.
I don't know. I think it's the crack. Alex Caruso is a big loss for them. He is their best three-point shooter. He shoots it at over 40%. After him, Kobe White shoots it at 37%. DeMar DeRozan, like we all know, he's a mid-range shooter. He shoots it at 33%. So, I mean, if they're not hot from three, I agree, Solano. There is a good chance that the Heat win. The Heat win without Jimmy Butler. They've done it throughout the regular season. They have their four games over 500 when it comes to playing without Jimmy Butler. I have no doubt that they can win tomorrow. And I think they will win tomorrow. I don't think they're going to rely so heavily on Tyler Hero. That was a split-second decision. Jimmy gets injured, got to figure things out on the fly. Tyler, go ahead, win us the game. It didn't work out. Now you have a day and a half to game plan. I think Bam's going to be more involved offensively. I think Jaime is going to get more minutes. I think we're going to be running out on the break a lot more with Jaime and Jovic. I think it's going to be a different game, completely different from what we saw against the Sixers. I think we do win, and I'm going to leave my Celtics predictions for when that happens. Definitely far from what Solana just said, though.
I do have a question for the three of you regarding, now that we know that Jimmy Butler is out, who starts in place of Jimmy Butler tomorrow? I'm curious, you know, who the three of you think, and I'll give you my prediction after.
Okay. Well, if Terry Rozier would have started, I think it would have been easy. Since he's not starting, I'm going to say they're going to have to force Jaime in there.
Yeah.
I think Jaime is going to get started. That's what I'm going with as well. And I think it's going to be a seven-man rotation.
Right.
It's either Jaime, or it's got to be like a random Haywood Highsmith just to bring him in and then bring in the better players later on when you get gassed people. That's the only reason.
Maybe Love? No.
I go with a name that you said, Chris, about 5 minutes ago, and that's DeLon Wright. I insert DeLon Wright into the starting lineup because he gives you a great defensive presence on Kobe White. You know, you need what you need to do to the Bulls is you need to stagger them in the first quarter. If you stagger them and hold them to 18, 20 points, and the Heat can get 30 points and outscore them, it'll be the Heat's game to lose. And I do not want – I want Triple J to stay on that second unit as – or, you know, or absolutely, kind of be like maybe come in for Tyler Hero. You know how he usually comes in for Jimmy Butler? Maybe he comes in for Tyler Hero, leads the second unit, and gets his minutes with Bam and Nikola in there, like how we saw him, you know, when he kind of went off on that stretch. So I'd look for DeLon Wright.
I'd rather see Haywood Highsmith start than DeLon Wright, honestly. I wouldn't mind seeing DeLon Wright in the second unit.
Yeah,
and interesting. And again, the only reason that I bring up Highsmith is because it's kind of the same sort of point that you're making here, Solana, where you're bringing in a player who has more defensive attributes. You kind of want to be able to kind of maintain this sort of, you know, control in the game in the first quarter. So the best way to do that is to bring on active defenders. And then once you bring in the second unit, you have someone who's a little bit more potent offensively, like JJJ, and then they'll be able to sort of take control and capitalize against their second unit. So,
Well, you know what? I agree. And you're probably right, because Hyman needs to come off the second unit, because when you look at who would be coming off the bench, Haywood Highsmith and DeLon Wright, you can't depend on them. You can't depend on Kevin Love creating offense.
There's only one other person we haven't mentioned who started already for the Heat this season. Didn't play the other night, and that's Patty Mills. I wouldn't be surprised if Patty Mills started, because
he's not starting now.
I wouldn't be surprised. Look, I'm just saying, Spo was known for liking to keep his rotations kind of in place, so he might want to just insert a random dude, like he said. Point guard. And look, it's gonna be interesting. All I know is I'm gonna be on the Disney Dream at some sports bar, having a beer or something, maybe probably something harder than that. And, yelling, and hopefully I don't end up in Disney jail.
Don't.
No, you don't. I can't imagine what Disney jail must be like. Any word on Duncan Robinson? Is he going to be good to go tomorrow?
I don't think so, man. I mean, he's still questionable. From what my brother tells me, he's still questionable. He most likely won't play.
And send Patty, yes, for this Galaxy. Look, and if for some reason Spo thinks that he can run the point, you'd rather see Tyler Hero run the point, I promise you. Because I've seen Patty try to run the point. It's not pretty.
Mitch is so right, baby. I'm going fishing. I didn't wear my – I was literally going to wear my fishing hat to the show. But I was like, I can't do that. I can't do bad juju and stuff, but – you know, I am going on vacation tomorrow. I hope that's not, you know, bad luck for the Heat that they're going fishing too. But I still think they're going to win, man.
Well, Chris, did you give your prediction? You said you'd win, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm hoping Italy's that, yeah, and then we just look, end
Italy up, got the guts. Finals. Italy has the guts, because everybody gets to say that we're not going to win.
I'm okay with it.
I think that the Heat will win. I wouldn't be shocked if they somehow drop it and the Bulls get really hot. But unless they get crazy hot, I think that he should have it. But that Celtics series, man, I see that playing out a lot different than Solana saying. But we'll visit that on our next episode. So any final words there, Italy Jet?
Yeah, maybe somewhere on a galaxy far, far away, Earl Barron might agree with me. Who knows?
Ooh, Earl Barron. Haven't heard that name in forever.
I know. But I still have no faith tomorrow night, but I am going to be watching glued to my TV. My wife's probably going to be somewhere. Don't really care because I'm glued to that TV tomorrow. But go Heat. Fingers crossed.
Hey, Italy, and what jersey were you wearing when LeBron had that crazy game in Boston?
I was not wearing that jersey.
Oh, man. I was going to say, wear that same jersey.
No, because I was wearing D-Wade. I was wearing a D-Wade jersey.
Perfect.
The one with the blue and pink mixed together.
Put that same one on, baby, because we're going to need that type of game from somebody tomorrow. So I want that type of energy from you. None of this Heat losing shit.
And Dennis, I said that I'd rather see Tyler run the point than Patty Mills. I don't want to see Tyler run that either. But we have no other point guard on the roster right now. Solana, any final words?
No, man. I'm just glad to be going on vacation.
Must be nice.
It must be honestly, nice. I think you know, it's been a long, tough season. You know, Jimmy deserves a vacation. I deserve a vacation. Bro, we all deserve a vacation. So let's win tomorrow so we can take, you know, a one day vacation, and then we'll get the Celtics on Sunday.
Can I ask everybody a question before I ask for Chris's final words? I have a quick question. Tomorrow, you win, you make the playoffs as the eighth seed. You play against the Celtics in the first round. Solana thinks they'll win in five. I think it'll be difficult. I don't think they win the championship. Do you think it's better for them to win and play against the Celtics or lose and enter the lottery for the draft?
Win and play the Celtics all day.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the dance.
Without Jimmy Butler?
But, hey, you're in the dance, baby.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
The culture will take care of itself.
And then watch the Bulls get the number one overall draft pick after this fucking draft. Chris, any final words?
I just want to just get the name out the way, Keon Dooling. And guys,
that's a Broward product right there.
Hey guys, Broward. How can you not? How can you not wish this, Mitch? Book it, baby. Book it. Bing bong. Book it, baby.
Ding dongs. Ding dongs. Ding dongs.
Book it. Book it, Mitch. Get your tickets. Yeah.
All right. God, I hate the Knicks. All right. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And for those of you that joined the chat, we appreciate you joining us. We hope that you guys keep joining us for this very extended playoff run we're about to have. And again, just hanging out with us. We appreciate it. So, yeah, fuck the Knicks. So we'll be back at some point after tomorrow night's game, hopefully previewing the Celtics series. But until the next one, have a good one.
Book it, Dennis.
I hate you.